Good morning. Why don't you stand with us and sing an old but mighty praise to the Lord, the Almighty. You sit. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to sing kind of a newer but oldie hymn. It's a famous Fanny Crosby that I pulled out. And it's called He Hideth My Soul. You know, she was born blind. And she wrote, I don't know, lots of songs. So we're going to do one and teach it to all of us today. He Hideth My Soul.
See? Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Oh, wow. Interesting. Where everyone sits. It's kind of like putting a puzzle together all the time. There's empty seats, there's full seats, there's some on this side, some on that side. It doesn't matter, but welcome. Glad that you're here today. I imagine you have seen and heard about the tornadoes that have hit some of our folks in Iowa this last couple of days, especially one down by Minden, Iowa. And name of the other place is like Harlan. Just want us to take some time and just pray for those folks. Can you imagine that? Just think of the house that you have or the apartment you have that you came from here to church today. And when you go home, you'll find that it's not there anymore, or it's all in pieces. And there'll be no running water. There'll be no electricity. There'll be nothing for probably a week, plus all the cleanup. And I mean, where are you going to live? I have no idea. So these folks are going through a lot of difficulties, and of course, there's probably a lot more than just them, because Tornado Alley was pretty active yesterday in Kansas, Oklahoma and Kansas as well. So let's just take some time this morning and just pray for those folks, because, you know, sometimes people say, well, what good is that going to do? And I just say, you know, when you have nothing else that you can do, you can at least pray. God will have to do the rest regardless. It doesn't depend upon us. It's all in God's hands, and He understands what these folks are going through. So let's just take some time and pray for these people that are down and lives are just turned upside down and torn apart by the tornadoes that came through there. And we're thankful, Lord, that none of us here are probably dealing with those kinds of issues that the folks there are dealing with. But then again, we might know of some people, might be related to some who live in those areas and have been on the phone with them, or, well, no, they can't be on the phone unless it's a cell phone. But we just have no idea what it's like to have your place where you sleep and where you eat and all the things that went on there that are there no more. We're thankful, Lord, for the help of the people in the surrounding area, and who knows how far away, maybe from other states that come, to help them to get back into something that's livable. Lord, a lot of times the big question is why? And we don't have an answer to that. All we can say, Lord, is that you know, and this doesn't surprise you, that it took place in the lives that have been affected. But your plans are a lot higher than our plans are, and your ways are bigger than our ways. And we just pray, Lord, that the little things will play very important in their lives today. If it's just some bottled water, if it's just somebody showing up saying, can I help clean up? If it's someone just volunteering to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm here to help in any way that I can. Lord, it's probably like an ant pile that's been kicked with people just kind of all over the place that want to help. And so we just pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. Give them insights and ideas. Thank you for those that come with tractors and grapple forks and able to help move things that no one else could do right now that lives there, because it's all destroyed. And there's other people, Lord, in other places that are going through the same thing, and we don't know who is going to be going through this in the days ahead and the places. But our hearts are with them today, just as they are with the hostages in Gaza and with the Israelis trying to figure out the best way to deal with what is before them. But Lord, we pray for the hostages. We don't know if they're alive. We don't know if they're dead. We don't know anything about them. And we just pray that they would seek you even in the midst of their darkness. Lord, may you give them hope when there seems like there is no hope. May you give that to the families who are wanting to be reunited with them very soon. Soon can't be fast enough. But there's a lot of turmoil in this world, Lord, and it's a lot of it's because it doesn't come from you. It comes from greater powers of evil that raises havoc. And that's the reason why we've come to worship you today, is because you are a God of hope. You are the Almighty Creator that we've just sung about. You're the Almighty Father, Almighty God. And we depend on you, even when we feel very, very helpless. So come and reveal yourself. Work through the lives of people that have a heart of helping others and serving. And may we not take for granted what you have given to us. If it's just coming, driving to church, there's somebody who lost all their vehicles and can't really go anywhere unless somebody does it for them. We're not used to that. We like being self-sufficient. So forgive us, Lord, when we believe we don't need you, or we want to do everything we can because we think we can, when we can't. So be with those in our midst here today that are dealing with issues and with things in their lives too, that it seems like a tornado has hit their lives and turned things upside down and threw a lot of things apart, torn apart. Lord, you know who they are. May you touch lives here this morning. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. Some of you are, but we do have a semi-annual business meeting following the service today. There'll be a little bit of a break after the service is finished. There are some booklets in the back by the sound system back there, sound booth, whatever it is. If you want one, if you haven't got one, we invite you to pick one up. And it's kind of one of those things. There's not many left, but when they're gone, they're gone. First come, first serve. So keep that in mind. Doesn't mean we can't make more the coming week, but what's there today is what's there. So at any rate, you're welcome to come and be a part of our business meeting, even if you're not a member. It's just that if you're not a member, you can't vote on anything that comes up to be voted on. And so we'll just have a little break between the service, and we'll start a business meeting in here shortly after everyone is dismissed this morning. We do have some new grandparents. I mean, they've been grandparents for a long time, but they got word that they're now grandparents again. I don't know for which time. But Steve and Nancy Letcher have been notified that Vienna Joe, who was 5 pounds and 8 ounces up there in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities area, have a little girl. Ed and Brooke are the parents to this little girl. And we just want to congratulate them. And if you see them, congratulate them as well, or thank them and greet them for the new little life that has come into their lives as well. And so that's Vienna Joe. Never heard of that name before. Anybody here heard of Vienna? I mean, I know the city. But Vienna, nice name. Nice name. One of the other things is that you see what is in the prayer requests in the bulletin here today. And remind you that Patty Griffiths, who's going to be gone next Sunday. She's going back over to Tanzania to take care of some things over there that goes to Next Life Foundation. But she's also going to be on the radio. That means she's been pre-recorded. So she will be on the radio at 7:50 next Sunday. If you want to tune in, you can do that. And she will be speaking called Christian Woman Speaks is what she will be on. So keep that in mind. Also want to remind you that there'll be some outside church cleanup. Be a good thing that, you know, you guys, there's Saturday breakfast for the men, 7:30. A good thing to do is that after breakfast, come on over to the church and we'll just clean up what's outside of the church. Some of the old trash from last year will need to be cut or pulled up and put in bags. And if you want to be a part of that, and even if you just would like to do that, come and help out at 9:30, I believe that is on Saturday. I'd like to thank Amy Johnson for the program that she gave to the last Joy Kids, Joy Us, on Wednesday night. And I believe she handed out something, or something was handed out by the kids. What was that? There it is, the golden rule. Do you know what the golden rule is? Let me see, who can I call on? I won't put anybody on the spot. But Dale, what is the golden rule? Okay, you don't know. You find it in Matthew chapter 7. That's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. Chapter 7, verse 12 is where you'll find the golden rule. Do unto others what you'd want others to do unto you. Something like that. So treat others the way that you want to be treated. That's something that we get kind of hammer in on these kids when they come after school to hear at the church. And it's just takes time to kind of help them realize that. If they just treat others the way they'd want to be treated, there'd be a whole, things would work out a whole lot better. And it's also in adults' lives too. So that was something that was handed out after the program, and I want to thank Amy for taking care of that and doing that. It was just a special touch and was well attended by people, and the supper was great beforehand, before the program, so we're glad for everyone that could be a part of that. And if you remember so today, if you see Amy, just thank her for all that she does for the Joy Us Kids this year. I want to remind you that the reason she's here is because of Joy Kids. You know, just want the church has found it more important enough to have her do this as we also give her a salary in taking care of that. Now she goes on to Vacation Bible School, planning that. That's going to be in June. And then back to Joy Kids back in September type of a thing. And then she's also church secretary. So she's involved in a lot of things, but we're so thankful for her because she does a great job in every area as well. That's all the announcements that I am going to make, and I think that was plenty. Oh, Ron, where are you? Ron Hagen. No, Knutson. I knew about Ron Hagen, but Ron Knutson, where are you?
In the back.
There you are. Just, he would want me to make sure that the men know that they're invited to come to the men's breakfast this Saturday at 7:30 at Perkins. And did you say you were going to buy for everybody? Yeah, I'll have to talk to Sharon about that. But we hope you can be a part of that. I think we had like 14 last year. I mean, last month. I mean, it was good turnout of guys. So keep that in mind, and that's always a great time to get together. So be a part of that, and I believe we covered everything. Let's just pray as we go back to singing for the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here today. Those who are visiting, those that are just probably came because they don't know why they came, but we know everyone who is here is not here by accident. You have brought them to be here. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for even the wind. I don't understand that one at all, but we've had our share of wind, but we know there's a purpose in it that we don't often see and we don't often like. But Lord, we are grateful, And help us to be thankful for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may he be very evident and very present here this morning and touching every person's heart that's here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you just sing, don't you? Oh, sorry. Responsive reading. I always expect another song. Comes from the New Testament, from Ephesians and Philippians. And I'll begin by saying this. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ,
if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion,
then make my joy complete by being like-minded.
Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose,
do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit,
but in humility, consider others better than yourselves.
Each of you should not only to your own interests,
but also to the interests of others. Stand as we hear God's word this morning. I'm excited to preach it today because there's things I've found here in it that I've never seen before, and I'll share them with you this morning. It's found in the book of Acts, New Testament, verses 26 to 35 of chapter 8. Acts 8, verses 26 to 35. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot. Go to that chariot and stay there and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is a prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can hear the good news about Jesus today again. May we, like the eunuch from Ethiopia, may we be searching and wanting to hear these words that you will give to us this morning. May we leave different today than when we came, because we've heard about Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you know a lot about Philip. Usually we hear about Peter, James, John, Matthew, Luke. But here we focus on Philip. It tells us in our text today that an angel of the Lord, and that's Luke's way, because Luke wrote the book of Acts as well as the Gospel of Luke. Luke is a historian. He's also a physician. He's a doctor. And he went out to find out if these things that he's heard about Jesus are true or not, and he goes out to interview a lot of different people along the way before he writes this. And Luke has a way of saying the same thing in different ways. Like he says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. It's the same as if the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. It's that God is actively working in Philip's life and heart, as in many other people's lives and hearts. And he might be working in your heart here today. Now, Philip, as we find out in the beginning of the 8th chapter of Acts, I didn't know this. I didn't see this before, but there's a lot said about Philip that he's in Samaria. You know where Samaria is at? It's north of Jerusalem, northwest, a number of miles. You know, it's probably, who knows, maybe 10, 15, 20 miles. You'll be in Samaria. But that's where he's at. So I have to ask you this question today. Did the Jews like Samaritans? They didn't. Did the Samaritans like the Jews? No. Where's Philip? And who is Philip? Philip is one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He's Jewish. And of all places, he's in Samaria. And what is he doing in Samaria? He's preaching to the Samaritans. Only God can do that. Only God can take you to a place that you normally would not go to and give you the words, the heart, to say what needs to be said. When we look at Philip, what he is saying there in the 8th chapter of Acts in Samaria, he was a great preacher, a great communicator. He even did something very, very supernaturally ordinary. He did things that Jesus, we heard what Jesus did, but now he is doing some of those same things. He is delivering people from demon possession. He's healing the people who are coming to him that are crippled, those who are paralyzed. And the result is that everywhere where, what's his name again? Yeah, Philip. Just seeing if you're with me or not. Philip, wherever he's preaching, wherever he goes, the result is great joy over the things that people see, what how God is using him in that area. You know, Philip went there not just to sing, "Michael, roll your boat ashore." Philip didn't go there just to sing "Kumbaya." He went there with a purpose and a reason, because he loves these people, these Samaritans, and he has something great to share with them, some good news to share with them about Jesus Christ. Now, you got to remember, at this time in history, there was no New Testament. The people had no idea who Jesus was, other than what they probably heard from others about this great teacher, this great preacher that was walking about and healing people here and there and doing great miracles. But they don't have the New Testament to go to and to hear the good news. So here's the great thing that I found out in doing the study on this text. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'll do it anyway. Philip speaks to this Ethiopian eunuch with just the Old Testament. And so I ask you, as I asked myself, could you use just the Old Testament in telling people the good news about Jesus? Think on that. Where would you start? Where would you go if all you had was the Old Testament? We'll get more into that a little bit later here. As we look in the beginning of chapter 8, we know that Jesus had told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to stay there until the Holy Spirit came, which would have been Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came and lives within every believer from that day on up to today, lives in their hearts and in their lives and empowers them to live as Christians. What moved them out of Jerusalem, the disciples? You'll find right before chapter 8, that there was a young man who was standing there watching a man called Stephen, who was a believer in Jesus Christ, that the Jewish authorities did not like Stephen because he was always talking about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And they told him to quit, and he could not quit. And so they put him down into the pit, where everyone got to throw rocks at him to kill him, called stoning. So when we say that Stephen got stoned, we're not talking about something you smoke like marijuana or those kinds of drugs. This was actual rocks, actual stones that people would pick up and they would throw at the one who was convicted of some kind of an evil sin. The young man who was standing there giving approval of this guy's death was Saul. Saul, a Pharisee. Saul, who was a hunter of Christians and would find them in different cities, and when he found them, he would bind them up. He would put them in jail. Sometimes they would probably be killed, but they would be roughed up terribly. Saul, who we better know as who? Paul. But Saul was there. And God used persecution, because that's when persecution began to take place. That was what made the Christians scatter, go to different places, different countries. And we start seeing the gospel go to different places. And we are recipients of that. Because it wasn't just to the Jews that heard the good news, it was also the Gentiles. And as far as I know, everyone here is a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Regardless if you come from Denmark, Norway, Germany, wherever, Scotland, Wales, doesn't matter. You're a Gentile. But we're recipients because we've heard the good news of Jesus. Philip teaches us that he was obedient and sensitive to God's word to go when he was asked to go. Now, Philip is in Samaria. The Spirit of God told him to go where? To Gaza. Opposite direction. Down south. South of Jerusalem. On the desert road that would take you to Gaza. So Philip has to go from Samaria, where everything is going great. He's having a great time there. The power of God is with him. He's seeing great miracles taking place. Of all times, why does he have to leave Samaria and go down to this dusty road that will take him to Gaza? So he has to walk back to Jerusalem and go south of Jerusalem, southwest, but south. And who does he find along the way? A caravan. It wouldn't be just one little wagon or one chariot with this guy in. He would have an entourage. It would be like a wagon train, a chariot train that's going on there. But Philip goes because God has asked him to go there, but he has no details. Who am I going to meet? Why am I going there? What's going to take place? And as he follows what God has told him to do, he sees this caravan of chariots, and that one particular chariot is the Department of Treasury guy from Ethiopia, who is in his chariot, and he's reading out loud, of all things, reading from Isaiah chapter 56, I believe it is. Yeah, check my 53. He's reading out loud chapter 53 of Isaiah, verses 7 and 8. Interesting that now Philip listens to the Spirit of the Lord tell him again, where the Spirit of the Lord says, now go to that chariot where that man is reading out loud from the prophet Isaiah. And you notice that Philip had to run to that chariot. He was in good shape. He was a jogger. He was a runner. He could do it. How many of you could run that far? We don't know how far he had to run, but it would be exhausting for us. and he hears this prophet of Isaiah being read from this eunuch from Ethiopia who had just come from Jerusalem. And he went there to worship. He was a God-fearing guy from Ethiopia. What color of skin do you think he had? You're right. A lot darker than yours. He would come from an area that we better known as like Cush. He was a eunuch, which means he had something missing for a male, which meant by the Jewish way of worshiping, if he went to Jerusalem to worship, he would not be allowed to go into the temple because he was a eunuch. But he'd have to be in the outer court because he was also a Gentile and he's a foreigner. Only Jews could go inside the temple. Only Jews could get closer up to the temple, and it was really the Levites that would go inside the temple. And then sometimes if you're an important person from another country, you would bring a gift to give to the Jews, to their God, just as a way of just saying that we're on your side. Even if you could not go in the temple itself. But this guy is a God-fearing Ethiopian eunuch. We don't know where he got the scroll of Isaiah, where he's reading it out loud. It was very common to be reading out loud during that time. But here he is reading out loud, and Philip hears him reading out loud and then is bold enough to ask him, do you understand what you're reading? As he's going like, well, how can I? I can't understand this guy. Is the prophet talking about himself or about somebody else? And Philip says, I can help you out. I know he's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. And he invites him. The eunuch invites him into his chariot. And that's when the opportunity comes for Philip to explain to this Ethiopian eunuch the things about Jesus this guy had never ever heard before. But the eunuch says to Philip, I don't understand this. But Philip, who says, I can help you. Has that ever happened to you? Where someone is asking questions about God, and you can just say, well, I may not know everything, but I think I can help you understand some things. And you know that they want to hear it. Now, there are some people who would never go there and say, like, I don't want to hear any of that religious stuff. But you can always say, well, I'm not here to be religious. I'm here to just tell you the truth of what God's Word says, the Bible. So Philip accepts the invitation to join him in that chariot. And he shares the gospel, the good news. Gospel means good news of Jesus Christ. And he explains to him that comes from Isaiah chapter 53, where it talks about a suffering servant or a man of sorrows. Jesus is called that. They believed that the Messiah would never suffer, couldn't touch him, he could not hurt him, he would never do those kinds of things. But Philip says, wait a minute, this is what they did to Jesus. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said was going to happen to him. If you're familiar with Isaiah chapter 53, you would understand everything what Philip is going to say about Jesus Christ, because there's only Jesus that would fulfill that prophecy that you see there or read in chapter 53 of Isaiah. That's why I said before, could you explain to someone by using just the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, their need for him? Here's some questions that I asked myself that maybe you can ask yourself here this morning too. If you look at just the Old Testament, what was the world like in the beginning? Does the Old Testament say anything about what the world was like in the beginning? Genesis. We know that the world was perfect. God made it. God created it. How did sin come into the world? If it was a perfect world, well then something happened that destroyed this paradise that God had created. And we find in the third chapter of Genesis how sin came into the world. What are the effects of sin in the world and the effects of sin on mankind? It was just Adam and Eve there at the time. But there's something about sin that also affected Adam and Eve, and they passed it on to everyone ever since, which means they pass it on to us too. Call that inherited sin. The old nature. We're born with it. Vienna has already got this old nature within her. No one has to teach you how to be bad. You know how to do that naturally and normally. Where do you see God's relationship and interaction with man in the Old Testament? You see it with Adam and Eve. And, you know, all through the Bible, it is always God coming to man. We even see in the Garden of Eden that when God came to look for Adam and Eve, they were hiding, the first time they've ever hid from God. They had sewn together some fig leaves because they were ashamed. It was God who gave them skins, the beginning of blood, the sacrificial system that the Jews would practice, and how that would become the fulfillment when Jesus, that we know of in the New Testament, he becomes our lamb, and he's sacrificed on the cross and rises again on the third day to give us hope and new life. He forgives our sins by doing that. So you ask the question like, well, where did the Jewish race come from? Good question. We'd have to go to Abram and Sarai. And who were they, by the way? Where did they come from? Were they Jews? There was no Jews at that time. But Abram became known as Abraham and Sarah. He is the father of the Jewish nation. He is the father of Israel because of his faith. And so the Jews came about, known as Hebrews, came the word Jews, and it comes from Abraham, who is a Gentile, not Jews. God made him the father of faith. And that's what made him stand out. He was a man of faith. And so how are we to relate and to worship God? Well, as time goes on, we know that there's an altar that was important to give sacrifices to God. It would cost a certain kind of a sacrifice. One that we know about in particular is in Egypt, you have what is called the Passover. They're out to find a lamb. It'd be 1 year old, no spot on it, no blemish. It could never have had a broken leg. It could never have been like a sick lamb. It'd be a perfect lamb, and they would take that lamb. They would kill that lamb, take the blood, keep the blood of that lamb, and put that on their doorposts of the homes in which they lived in. The death angel. The death of the firstborn would come. If the blood was seen on the outside, would pass over that house. If it did not have the blood of the lamb put on the door frame of that house, then the firstborn inside, and it's not only of humans, but also of animals, cattle, livestock, the firstborn would die. The importance that we see what Jesus does in the New Testament, the shedding of his blood for us, that our sins would be forgiven, brings us into a right relationship with God. We can have a relationship with him. And then how important is faith? Well, we know that Abraham was a man of faith, the father of faith. If we look at Ephesians in the New Testament, there we find in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 of Ephesians, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's a gift of God. It doesn't come from you or me. It comes from God, a gift that no one can boast. It's not by works. You cannot work your way to heaven. Now, as a believer, you will want to do things because you have the faith first. And you will do things that will be in line with what God's word says. If it's something contrary to God's word, well, then we call that sin. What is sin? Gossip would be one of those things. Talking about things you shouldn't be talking about. Not encouraging unity, but disunity, causing conflicts, causing fractions, causing divisions. God's always been for unity. The last question I had here was, well, how do we receive salvation and what does that mean? So simple. It's always been by faith. Salvation always comes by faith, by receiving what God has provided for us through his Son. John chapter 3, verse 14, talks about the serpent that took place in the Old Testament. Those that were bitten by poisonous snakes, all they had to do to live was to look at the snake on the staff that was raised up. If they got bit, they'd look at that staff with that snake on it, they would live. If they chose not to look at that staff or that snake, bronze snake, they would die. Jesus was lifted up on a cross. It's important for us to see what he did there for us, and we, by faith, believe that and trust him. You may know a lot of things about Jesus that are up here, but it needs to be in here, in your hearts. That's what will make all the difference in the world. So we see the good news is not just for Jews, not just for someone from Africa, but it's for both Gentiles and Jews. But we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that salvation is to come to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And it's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's by grace. Undeserved favor. Undeserved love that God has towards you and me. And if we look at John chapter 1, verse 12, it is there that it is received by faith. All that God has done, we receive it by faith to become children of God. It's just that simple. It's not hard, is it? I don't think it is. I close with this, because last week we talked about the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11, where Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd. And he's a good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. But in Isaiah, it says this. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, referring to Jesus, the Christ, the iniquity of us all. Jesus took upon him all of our sin, that we may be free, forgiven, and have eternal life forever. That's it. Let's pray. Lord, we think of the students at Next Life Foundation that walk miles. One gal runs 2 hours and then walks an hour just to get to her sewing class. I don't think anyone here would ever do that. But this is going on today. It's happening. Patty Griffiths hears about this and she knows what's going on there in Tanzania, Africa. And these girls find, or young ladies, young women, however it is, they know the importance of getting this trade, to learn this trade, so that they then in turn can take that back to their village or make things for people and earn a living, where otherwise they would have nothing. So Lord, when we think of Philip walking from Samaria down towards Gaza, nothing has changed this day. When we see that Next Life Foundation knows all about where these girls come from and the distance in which they have to go to get there every day. So Lord, we just pray for Patty as she goes to Tanzania next week. May that you be with Mary, the one who really goes and visits the homes of where these girls come from before or during their time at learning this trade of sewing. Lord, will you protect them and watch over them? May they know that you are with them every day and you bring the joy into their lives because of someone from Milford, Iowa, that you spoke to her heart to go to Tanzania, Africa, and to start this place where ladies can get jobs, as well as men who do carpentry. So Lord, you are still at work today in ways that we would never ever expect. Just as if Philip would never have expected to have come across and to meet an important official from Ethiopia and a eunuch. Your ways are far above our ways. May we be humbled. May we be willing to go wherever you may send us. It doesn't have to be across the ocean, but it can be right here in Milford or in this area. It can be a phone call. It can be a letter. It can be a card. Who knows? God, you can use anything. So may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I suffered, Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before we play the last song, I just want to say thanks for your patience. I just would not have felt right to have left today if I wouldn't have said what I said. It's longer than normal. So thanks for not falling asleep. And if you did fall asleep, Lord bless you anyway. But just thanks for your patience and your attention this morning. Go ahead there.
Let's stand and sing our closing song, To God Be the Glory.
God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Oh, he led a life and atonement for sin, and opened the life that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of
serve the Lord.